It never fails. It never fails. Whenever we hang these banners, somebody says to me, I'll never be up there. Even when I die, I've not lived a life that allows me to be remembered in this way. No one will ever call me a saint. It never fails. Three of you in this building today said something like that to me before I could get into worship. But whenever I hear that, I am reminded, quickly reminded, of those who are listed in the great cloud of witnesses. You see, if you read Hebrews 11, where the role is taken of those who are the saints of God, it's Hebrews 12 that says, now therefore there is a great cloud of witnesses, but the therefore is there for them. Abraham, who lied about who his wife was to save his own skin. Rahab, a prostitute, let's be clear. Gideon, who was unwilling to trust God and play the fleece thing. I left out Moses, who was a murderer. Barak, who was supposed to go into war with Deborah the judge and who said, I am not going. I am not going. Samson, you remember that Delilah thing. And Jephthah, not a good story. He's in the book of Judges. And it seems as if he makes a rash vow to the Lord that would cause him to sacrifice his own daughter. And David, whose list of peccadilloes is as long as is this aisle. This is who is listed in the great cloud of witnesses. Whenever someone says to me, my life, my way, my understanding of saints in the great cloud means I can't be there, I point them to Hebrews 11. And then there is Peter and Paul, whom we assume is also in that great cloud. But you heard the text that Ted read and read so well. Paul confronts Peter in Galatians 2, and the word that's used in the Greek says he got in his face. It is a confrontational kind of approach. Paul in Peter's face, condemning him for choosing to behave one way when there were no big names from Jerusalem in town, and choosing to behave an entirely different way when James, the brother of the Lord, shows up with some of those luminaries, Jewish luminaries from Jerusalem. Paul confronts Peter and says, you are two-faced, you are double-minded. And these are in the great cloud. Peter, who denied Jesus. Paul, who was present when they stoned Stephen. And now we find them arguing with one another in the text. Standing in what? This is who's in the great cloud of witnesses? Yes. Because, beloved, our presence in God's light, our presence in the great cloud, our presence before God's throne in glory has nothing ever to do with who we are. It has nothing ever to do with how well we've lived our lives or how sinless we think we have been or how sinful we have been. Our presence before God in the great cloud, our presence before the throne of grace has always and only to do with God's great gift of the Son, has only and always to do with Jesus' stretching wide his arms on a cross and taking on the sin of the world. Our presence, our welcome, our invitation to be before God, to be seen as justified and righteous and holy, will never have anything to do with what we can bring. But always, in the presence of God's Son, giving his life to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. As far as east is from west, the psalmist says, so far have our transgressions been taken from us. Jesus said when he held that cup, this is the cup of the New Testament for the remission of sin. This is our hope and our stay, that Christ called by name all of these, that Christ calls by name you and me and invites us to come before him, sinners undone, to be forgiven. This morning in Sunday school, we looked at several texts about God's love. And one among us said, this word sinners is so difficult for me. And we defined it in the way the Greek defines it, as one who has missed the mark. One who's missed the mark of living holy. One who's missed the mark of living righteous. One who's missed the mark of living as Christ calls all of us. The letter to Rome says, have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one up there has had a rascal moment. Every one of us, likewise. But our place at the table, our place in the presence of God, our place in the great cloud is made possible because Jesus looked out from the cross and said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Jesus looked out from the cross and knew that his sacrifice would make space for our redemption. You, beloved of God, are fully redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. You and I are welcomed. And in that newness, in what Paul says in that 2 Corinthians text, that we are now new creation, new creatures, all the old things are past. We can step out of whatever might bind us in the past and into the newness of being brand new in Jesus. Yes. So never doubt that you were worthy, not because of who you are, but because of whom you love. Never doubt that you are accepted, not because you've asked for it, but because it was given even before you asked. Never doubt that you are loved, because God's word says to us, nothing in all of creation can separate us from the love of Christ. Paul, Peter, Abraham, Rahab, Gideon, Barak, yes, they're in the great cloud, because nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. But beloved, if you have been given a gift beyond all measure, if you have been given that new creation status and stature, if you and I have been completely and utterly forgiven for our sin as we come to God and ask to be forgiven, what is our reasonable response? Not what do we do to earn that forgiveness, for we never earn it. It is given freely as grace. But what do we do in response to such lavish love? Paul has an answer to that as well. In that 2 Corinthians text, he says, you and I have been reconciled to God. You and I have been made new. And our task is to go into the world and tell others of this great gift, that we might be ambassadors of reconciliation. Paul says, if you're going to be an ambassador of reconciliation, do not count the other's trespasses against them. If you're going to be an ambassador of reconciliation, make an appeal for unity, one God. If you're going to be an ambassador, remember that that same God is sovereign. And God will bring all things to fruition. You and I have been given a task to be ambassadors of reconciliation. And I can think of no time in my life when that assignment is more important than this week. Wednesday, November 9th, someone will have lost and someone will have won. And our nation is in the place where we could be divided in ways we've not seen. But you and I have a higher calling. It goes so far beyond whomever you will cast your votes for. You and I have a higher calling. We are the children of the living God, and we are called to be ambassadors of reconciliation. What would happen on Wednesday if no matter what the vote was, your job and my job was to count no one's trespasses against them? What if your job and my job was to speak of the unity in Christ in God? God, even if we only spoke to other Christians, what if we took seriously this notion that we have been made new and that God is sovereign and still making all things new so that we might bring the center and the center might hold? And that center is our faith in God. That center is our love of God. We have a task, and Wednesday is our opportunity. We have an assignment, and Wednesday is the day we must rise up and take it on. For God has called you and me ambassadors of reconciliation. Do not, on Wednesday, beloved, forget your assignment. To reconcile is to pull things together. To reconcile is to hold that which has been disparate in one place. And we're able. We're able for the same reason we're forgiven. We're able. We're able for the same reason we're loved. We're able for the same reason God sent the Son to give you and me the power to speak love, to speak truth, to speak hope. That's our center. And it's up to us to speak those words wherever we go so that the center may hold. The only ambassadors of reconciliation God has are you and me. May we move into our world confident of our assignment. May we move into our world confident of the power that wells up in us, not our power, the power of God made known to us in Christ and the Holy Spirit. And may we come to the table to dine. For this is hard work, and work none of us may have signed up for. But when you and I were made new creation, we were made ready for this day. Come, beloved. Come to the table that we might eat and grow strong. Come that we might make sure the center of our faith holds. And we may move out into the world, sign and symbol, ambassadors of reconciliation.